All right, so today we're going to dive into something pretty radical, the idea of opting out of Social Security. We're going to be looking at an article called Opting Out of Social Security. It's by economist Robert P. Murphy.
Yeah.
And we're going to really try to unpack what this could all mean for you. I mean, you probably heard about all the challenges facing Social Security, you know, that massive funding gap. I think they're projecting it to be around like $11.4 trillion. It's a big deal. This is definitely a hot topic. You know what's interesting about what Murphy's saying here is he's not just pointing out the problems, he's actually offering like a potential solution. And it's a solution that could actually end up benefiting individuals and the government.
Yeah, that's what I thought was so interesting about this too. So you know the current Social Security system. It's built on this pay-as-you-go model where today's workers are funding the benefits of current retirees. But as people are living longer and, you know, birth rates are declining, that model's starting to break down. So what does Murphy say? He says, let people opt out. But there's a catch. Yeah, there's a catch. It's not just a free pass. Anyone who has contributed more to the system than they're expected to receive, they'd need to make a payment, like settle their account before being able to leave.
So it's kind of like you're buying your way out of the system, like a financial divorce almost.
Right.
So the question is, why would anybody want to do that?
Well, that's where the whole concept of discount rates comes into play. And it all boils down to how individuals and the government value money over time. Think of it this way. Let's say you win a contest and they say, okay, we'll give you two options. We can give you $50 today or we can give you $100 in 5 years. Which one would you pick?
Probably the $50 today. A bird in the hand, right?
Exactly. That's because you have a higher discount rate than, let's say, a big institution would. You see more value in having that money right now because you could potentially invest it and you could earn a return on that money over those 5 years. The government, on the other hand, they operate on a much longer timeline. They can borrow money super cheaply. They're more comfortable with just kind of a slower, steadier return.
So Murphy's saying that individuals could actually do better by investing their Social Security contributions themselves.
Yeah.
Especially if they're looking at the long term.
Yeah, precisely. He actually gives a really interesting example in his article. There's this hypothetical 32-year-old man, and this guy could potentially gain an extra $77,000 over his lifetime just by opting out and investing those contributions differently. Obviously, individual results are going to vary based on investment choices and just how the market's doing and everything, but it really highlights the potential upside.
Yeah, I mean, that's a significant chunk of change. And you know, it seems like there's a potential win for the government, too, right? I mean, if people are opting out and they're effectively prepaying their share, doesn't that kind of ease some of the pressure on the system as it is right now?
Absolutely. The government could then borrow at those low rates we were talking about, and they can use that money to fund the current obligations that they have. It's almost like reaching a mutually beneficial agreement, assuming, of course, that all the financial details are worked out fairly.
Okay, so this opt-out idea is starting to sound maybe less radical. And more like a pretty clever financial maneuver. But what about like the broader impacts of something like this? We're talking about potentially changing like the entire landscape of retirement planning in America.
Yeah, that's right. And we really need to think about the ripple effects this could have. Like if people are opting out and they're no longer paying those Social Security taxes, that could have some really interesting implications for things like wages and labor supply. Yeah, it could really shake things up. One of the first things you have to consider is the impact on wages. Like if people are opting out of Social Security, they're essentially getting like a tax cut in the form of lower payroll taxes and, you know, that extra money in their pockets. That could incentivize people to actually work more.
Oh, yeah. I can definitely see that. If you're keeping a larger share of what you're earning, suddenly that extra shift or, you know, picking up a side gig, it might seem a lot more appealing.
Exactly. And so when you have more people that are willing to work, that could actually lead to like an increase in the overall labor supply. Now, basic economics tells us that when supply increases, prices tend to go down.
So in this case, like the price that we're talking about is wages, right? So there's a chance that wages could actually go down for those people who choose to stay in the Social Security system.
Yeah, that is a possibility. It's not like a for sure thing or anything. But some studies have suggested that, you know, the impact of these payroll tax reductions, it's pretty minimal when it comes to wages. But then other studies have shown that like employers might actually pass on some of those savings to their workers, which could actually result in higher wages. It's complicated. There are a lot of different variables.
Yeah, it sounds like it. But, you know, even if wages do end up dipping a little bit, for those people who stay in the system, isn't there also the argument that it's just a matter of fairness? Like, shouldn't everybody have the same opportunities to, you know, earn a decent living, regardless whether or not they choose to opt out of Social Security?
That's a really good point. And it's something that Murphy actually addresses in his article. His argument is essentially that the current system as it is, it actually creates a kind of uneven playing field because it discourages competition from people who might be willing to work for a bit less because they're not having to pay into Social Security.
So it's almost like the system is kind of inadvertently protecting some workers from competition, even if it means it could be limiting opportunities for other people.
Yeah.
That's an interesting way to think about it.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it kind of boils down to like a philosophical question about the role of government in the economy. Should the government be creating a system that, you know, prioritizes a certain level of stability and income security, even if it means that it might be limiting some individual choices
right.
and, you know, different economic outcomes for people? Or should the government step back a little bit and allow for more of like a free market approach, even if that means, you know, there's a greater potential for rewards, but also greater potential for risks? I mean, these are big questions. There are no easy answers.
No, they really aren't. And it's fascinating to me how this one proposal, you know, just letting people opt out of Social Security, can spark such a wide-ranging discussion. So we've talked about the potential impact on wages, we've talked about the labor supply, but what about the financial side of things? You mentioned earlier this whole idea of discount rates and how individuals tend to have like a higher discount rate than the government. Can you maybe break that down a little bit more?
Sure. So think of it as a measure of how much you value money today versus money that you'll get in the future. Let's say you have like $1,000 right now. And you have two different options for what you can do with it. You can invest it in a government bond, which guarantees you like a 2% return every year. Or you can invest it in the stock market, which, you know, historically has delivered much higher returns, but it comes with more risk. Which one sounds better to you?
Well, I'm certainly no expert when it comes to Wall Street.
Yeah.
But I know that the stock market has the potential to give you much higher returns over the long run, even though you know there is more risk involved.
Right. And that's because you, as an individual, you have a relatively high discount rate. You would rather have access to that money sooner because you believe that you can make it grow more quickly through investments that have a higher potential return, even if it comes with a little bit more risk.
But the government's different, right? They're kind of playing the long game. They're not as worried about maximizing their returns in just the short term.
Exactly. They're much more focused on stability and predictability. So they're happy with those slow and steady government bonds because they're virtually risk-free. And because the government is seen as such a reliable borrower, they can usually borrow money at really low interest rates.
Okay, so now I'm starting to see how this all ties back to this whole opt-out proposal. It's almost like with the current Social Security system, we're being forced to lend our money to the government. At this rate of return, that's actually lower than what we could potentially be earning if we invested it differently.
Yeah, that's basically Murphy's argument. He's saying that by giving people the choice to opt out, they could potentially have more control over their own retirement savings, and they could invest that money in ways that, you know, better align with their own risk tolerance and their own financial goals, and they could potentially earn a much higher return over the long term.
And at the same time, the government could benefit by having access to those prepayments from the people who decide to opt out. So it's like this win-win situation.
Yeah.
As long as everything's handled, you know, responsibly and fairly, of course.
Exactly. Of course, there are still a lot of details to work out. Like, you know, how would they even calculate those settlement payments? And how would they prevent people from trying to game the system? But the concept itself is really interesting.
It is. And it's amazing to me how this one idea can spark such a complex and, you know, multifaceted discussion. So we've talked about the potential impacts on wages,
right?
The labor supply, and even, you know, individual investment choices. But there's one other really important thing to consider here, and that's the social and ethical implications of making such a big change to our entire retirement system. And that's what we're going to be talking about in the final part of our deep dive. So stay tuned. All right, so we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. We talked about, you know, the potential economic impacts, the financial stuff too. But now let's maybe shift gears a little bit and talk about something that's, you know, maybe a little bit less tangible, but equally important, I think. And that's the social and ethical side of all of this.
Yeah, that's a really crucial part of the whole conversation. I mean, when you think about it, Social Security isn't just a financial system, right? It's a reflection of our values as a society. It's built on this idea of shared responsibility. We all contribute to the system. And in return, it provides like a safety net for everybody, especially those who are most vulnerable.
Yeah, exactly. It's like this idea that we're all in this together. We have like a duty to support each other. especially during retirement, when people you know may not be able to work anymore and support themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But if you start letting people opt out of the system, doesn't that kind of undermine that whole sense of, you know, collective responsibility?
That's a really valid concern. Like, what happens if all these, you know, younger, healthier, higher earning individuals start opting out? It could leave the system with a much smaller pool of contributors, which could actually put a much greater strain on the people who stay in.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have to start asking, you know, is it really fair? Is it equitable? Should some people be allowed to benefit from opting out while other people are left to shoulder a much greater burden?
And what about the people who maybe don't have the financial knowledge or even the resources to make like a really informed decision about opting out?
Mm-hmm.
Investing can be really complicated. And there's always that risk that you could make a bad choice.
Yeah.
And it could leave you worse off in the long run.
Yeah, that's a super important point. Not everybody has the same level of, you know,
financial literacy.
Exactly. And it's really dangerous because some people could get, you know,
lured in.
Yeah, lured in by the promise of those higher returns without fully understanding the risks that come along with it. And so it kind of raises this ethical question. Should we as a society allow people to take on that level of risk, especially when we're talking about something as important as retirement security?
It's such a tough balance. On the one hand, we obviously value individual freedom.
Mm-hmm.
People should have the right to make their own choices, even if those choices aren't always the best financially. But on the other hand, don't we also have this responsibility to protect the people who might be more vulnerable to making decisions that could really hurt them financially in the long run?
It's the classic dilemma, right? Individual freedom versus the collective good. It's a debate that's been going on forever. There's no easy answer. I think it really comes down to our values and priorities as a society.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into this whole idea of, you know, opting out of Social Security, I think it's pretty clear that there's a lot to consider. This isn't just like a financial decision. It's a societal decision.
Yeah.
It's an ethical decision. And it really forces us to think about our values and beliefs about how we want to care for each other, both individually and collectively.
I couldn't agree more. It's a conversation that we need to have as a society. We have to weigh those potential benefits and the risks, the economic stuff, the social and ethical stuff too. And then we have to decide what kind of future we want to build for ourselves and for, you know, the generations that come after us.
Absolutely. And that's what we've really tried to do in this deep dive. Just give you the information and the insights that you need to start engaging in this really important conversation, to think critically about it all, and form your own informed opinions. So the next time you hear somebody talking about opting out of Social Security, remember, it's not just about the money. It's about values. It's about choices. And it's about the kind of world we all want to live in. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll catch you on the next one.